Psalm 42. I've entitled the message tonight, Hope for the Downcast Soul. Hope for the Downcast Soul. Psalm 42. The Bible says, As the hart, the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. And deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Thank you. You may be seated. There are times in the life of a believer in which the dark clouds of despair overfloods the soul. One second, it seems as if we are seeking God and His blessing and His favor is upon us and we are enjoying sweet communion with Him. And while the next, discouragement seems to sneak in and diminish our joy in the Lord. What are we to do in times like these? How are we to respond to heartache, to the dark nights that may come to our soul? How have other believers in the past found hope when all hope seems gone? Well, the Holy Spirit here in this psalm, Psalm 42, records for us the answer. It's written for believers so that we might know how to respond when the rug is pulled out from under our lives. And so I want you to see, first and foremost, from our text this evening, the reality of despair. The reality of despair. We read in verse 5, the psalmist is crying out. He's crying out to his own soul, and he says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why art thou cast down? The truth of the matter is, whether you have been a Christian for 2 years or 20 years, it is a reality that there will be times in which our souls will feel downcast and disquieted. There will be mornings in which you feel refreshed by God's Holy Spirit and you will persevere through the darkness of the storms of life. And yet there will also be mornings in which you will awake and all you desire to do is stay in bed with the covers over your head. The truth of the matter is all believers everywhere face despair or discouragement in their walk with the Lord. So long as we live in a sin-soaked world and we battle against the world, our flesh, and the devil, there will be times of discouragement. And so the psalmist here in our psalm is facing one of these seasons. He's in as pilgrim, and Pilgrim's Progress describes the slough of despond. It's a dark and dreary storm where there is no light, no sense of hope around the corner. And while the psalm doesn't say who the author is, many believe that it might be David. Many scholars and theologians expect this to be written by David or perhaps by one of his sons. But whoever it is who was struggling through this discouraging time, and we see him as a man of like passions as we are, dealing with the reality of despair as he questions his soul. Why art thou downcast, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Now I want you to notice the timing of this despair. Notice it in verses 1 and 2. The psalmist is panting after God as the deer panteth after the waters. So the psalmist is desiring to know God. He's desiring to seek after God with his full heart. His soul is thirsting for God. It reminds me of the words of Jesus, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The psalmist is hungry. The psalmist is thirsty, and he wants to be blessed by God Almighty. He is longing to know something of God's presence and power. And while he is seeking God, he cries out. Verse 3, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" The psalmist's enemy are pursuing him while he is pursuing God. Notice in verse number 9, the Bible says, "I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forsaken me, forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" Notice verse 10, "As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" Isn't that a truth? As you seek the Lord, Satan is going to raise up people to discourage you from seeking the Lord. He's going to throw his fiery darts against you as you seek his face, as you seek his power, as you seek his presence. And that is what's happening here to this psalmist. He is seeking to stay on this one-way road to know God and to experience him and to know his blessing. And yet, Satan, the enemy, is raising up people against him, casting him out with their lips, asking, "Where is your God? Is your God really true? Is your God really alive? If he is, why are you in such a condition?" It seems that God has forsaken the psalmist. Others are mocking. It moves him to tears. It moves him inwardly to fear. And we ask ourselves, what caused the psalmist to be cast down? And what are the reasons in this life that we might feel our souls cast down? Well, first and foremost, we see one of the causes in which God's people experience this discouragement is the sins of others. As in our text, the enemies cast the psalmist down with their mouths and they're seeking to destroy his life. And so sometimes we face great discouragement, great despair, great darkness when others are sinning and sinning against us. Do you remember David and his pursuit away from King Saul? King Saul was seeking to take his life and throwing javelins even at him. And King David is seeking to run for his life, to flee and to safety. And you no doubt know that David faced deep discouragement because of such of this. It wasn't only Saul, but it was also Ahithophel, one of his greatest counselors, one of his greatest friends in ministry. And David describes in Psalm 55 his deep despair when he is betrayed by a close friend. An acquaintance. And then we know that even Absalom, his son, and David's son, is seeking to destroy his life. But what is David's response through the Psalms? Oh, he is troubled within, but he hopes in God. He looks up And sometimes it is that discouragement comes because of the sins of others, the forsaking of men. And you can look back even at your own life. In which you recall, there have been many family members, perhaps friends, close friends, who have turned their back on you, who have despised you and cast you down with their lips. And so sometimes this causes a Christian to have a downcast and a discouraged soul. Also, another cause is personal sin. Sometimes it is our personal sin that causes us to be in despair. And David cries out in Psalm 38, 17 through 18, "For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin." Sometimes it is the sins of others that causes us to be in this discouragement of soul, but also sometimes it is our own sin against God, or where we are brought to a sense of shame because of our rebellion against Him. And you know the passage of Psalm 51. We don't have to read it. You know it very well. And David declares that he has lost the joy of his salvation. He has not lost the very salvation that he has in Christ, but he's lost the joy, the peace that he has in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's lost the presence of God upon his life. And what was the cause? His rebellion against God. Going unto Bathsheba, committing murder, and then Nathan goes unto David and says, "You are the man, you have sinned greatly against God." And David cries out, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great wickedness in thy sight." And so we understand that sometimes our soul is downcast because of our own sin and our own rebellion. Now sometimes it is because of unconfessed sin in our life. And that's why we're called in Hebrews to lay aside the weight which so easily besets us and let us run with patience. Because the weight of sin will keep us back from seeking God with our full heart and our full soul. And sometimes it is unconfessed sin that can cause deep, deep despair in the heart and life of a believer. What causes the souls of God's people to be downcast? Well, we see it is the sins of others. We see that it is personal sin sometimes. Also, the disappointments in life. The disappointments in life. Do you remember Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1? What was her desire? Her desire was for a child. And God, in His sovereignty and in His wisdom, decided to close her womb. And she was in great despair, great discouragement. And God did not give her what she longed for at her appointed time. And yet later we see, yes, a son was born unto Hannah. But before that, we see that one of the disappointments in life caused her to be in despair and discouragement. Oh, yes, it did throw her to the throne of grace and to cry out for God to bless and open her womb. But sometimes we are growing in despair because that which we have longed and hoped for, God has not given. So it can be also the disappointments in life. Also, it can be the loss of a loved one. And we read this in Scripture in a few different places. We read it about Naomi in the Scriptures and also Job. And Job lost his family, his children. We read it about Mary and Martha, do we not, in John chapter 11, how they lost their brother Lazarus. And they cried out, "Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus would not have died." And they're groaning within, they're discouraged. The darkness has come upon their heads. They don't understand what God's about to do. But yes, they are thrown into a state of despair. It can be because of a loss of a loved one. Disappointments in life, personal sin, the sins of others, and it can come from physical weakness. Paul, the apostle, describes for us in the book of Corinthians that there was a thorn in his flesh. He asked for it to be removed, and God said no. He asked for it to be removed 3 times, and God said no. My grace is sufficient for you. Paul, when you are weak, then am I strong. Paul, when you're weak, then the power of Christ can rest upon you. And we recall Job as well with the boils upon his hands, upon his arms, upon his feet, upon his legs, all over his body. He's dealing with the loss of his family and now the health problems. And sometimes physical weakness can cause us to grow discouraged and despair. And the truth is that discouragement in the Christian life, it is a reality. But in our text, we see a wonderful, wonderful, glorious light shining through. And this is the remedy. The remedy of despair. What is the remedy of despair? We see its reality and we know it in our own heart and life. But what is the remedy? Look at verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The remedy of despair, what is it? 3 letters, 1 word, God. God is the remedy for despair, for discouragement, for heartache. Listen, it's not a pill. It's not another self-help book. It's not finite men or finite counselors. Our ultimate need is God and God himself, the person of God. And man runs in our society, in our world, to other men. And we're leaning upon the arm of the flesh. When our great need is a spiritual one, and it is one that we find in God, our need is God. God is our remedy. He is our true and lasting hope. And there is no truth, true or lasting hope in anyone or anything else. And this word hope, the psalmist says, hope thou in God. He's preaching to his own heart. He's preaching to his own soul. And he says, hope. This word means to wait, to be patient, to trust, and to stay. Doesn't it remind you of the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 26:3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The psalmist says, though I am dealing with despair, though I am dealing with discouragement, though the clouds of darkness are over my life and I can't seem to see the light, I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to wait upon his perfect timing. I'm going to trust in his hand, to trust in his providence and stay upon him. I want to give you a few practical tips of how we can hope in God and how the psalmist hoped in God. Look at verse 6. Yes, we do find hope in God, but how is that spelled out? It's easy to say, well, find hope in God. But what do we mean by that? Well, the psalmist found hope in God by remembering. Look at verse 6. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. And therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Oh, the psalmist is in a faraway land. He's in a place that he's unfamiliar with. And during this time, he hopes in God by remembering who God is, remembering God's goodness and grace and his power. And so we who face despair in our Christian life, when we are in the strange land spiritually, we must remember God. And how do we do this? By opening up his word. We remember God by meditating upon his word. How do we know God? But through his word. Is it not the word of God that reveals himself to us? So how can we know God apart from the word? God has given us his word so that we might know him. And so when you face discouragement, God is calling us to remember him, and we do it by meditating on his word. In times of darkness, know that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You know what that means in the biblical terms? We think of a light and a lamp, and we think of family camp where we have a million power lights or a candle that can go 5 miles down the road. That's not the biblical context. In Bible days, they simply had a small light, and it could only illuminate the next step in front of them. They could not see a mile down the road. They could only see the next step or the next couple steps in front of them when it was a dark, dark night. And that's what God is teaching us here in His Word. Let God's Word be the lamp unto your feet, the light unto your path. Though you cannot see tomorrow, though you cannot see next week, you can trust God today. You can let His Word be your light. Find hope in His Word when you face discouragement. And can I offer you this? Learn to preach. Yes, ladies, you too. Learn to preach to your own souls. You thought I was going to say behind the pulpit. Listen, when we face discouragement and darkness, we need to learn to preach to our own souls. That's what the psalmist does here in verses 5 and 11. Why art thou downcast, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. He's preaching to his own heart. Hope thou in God. Wait upon Him. Rest upon Him. He will intervene. And so as we meditate upon His Word, as we open it, as we give ourselves in meditation, we remember Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. And we preach these truths unto ourselves. We preach to us that He will not leave us nor forsake us. We preach to ourselves the first chapter of Philippians, that He that began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We preach to our soul about God's power, about God's promises. We preach to our soul how God has worked for others in the past and how He is able to do it for us today. And so where do we find hope in God? We find it in His Word, and we do it by remembering. What was the problem of the Israelites? They forgot God. They forgot His power and His goodness and His grace, right? Wish we had been in Egypt with the melons and the cucumbers and everything else. Wish we would have been there. We could have a great feast. They forgot God's power. Is God able to furnish a table in the wilderness? And they're doubting. They have forgotten God. And sometimes we find ourselves in that position, do we not, as Christians? Now we look back at our life and we see miracle after miracle. We see God's power on display. And then when the storms hit, we say, where's God? God, are you able? Are you sufficient? Can you handle this one? You must remember, you must preach to your own souls. So if you are a wife tonight, your husband's at home, you go home and say, what was the sermon about? You can just say that the pastor told me I'm to be a preacher, right? Ladies, preach to your own souls. See also from our text, verse 4, the psalmist placed God's house of utmost importance in his life. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. The psalmist here is remembering the times where he has been in the house of God, and he's anticipating the times in which he will worship together in the house of the Lord. And being far removed, he longs to be with God's people. And this is a great truth for us today. Sometimes when you're discouraged, sometimes when you're in despair, aren't you tempted to skip church? Let's be honest. Don't you want to just, in your mind, justify the fact, well, you know, I can watch live stream and stay in bed in my pajamas. Come on, I know you've thought that. I don't have to go to church. I don't want to go to church. I'm tired. I'm weary. I have to wake up. But the very place you need to be is under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. You need to be among God's people. And some of the most discouraged Christians that you will meet are those who forsake the assembly of themselves together because they're not fulfilling God's word and bearing one another's burdens and praying for one another and loving one another. You show me a Christian, not a perfect Christian, but a Christian who fights through discouragement. I'll show you somebody who's faithful to the house of God. You need the local church, and the local church needs you. Other people need you. It's not all about you. You can be a blessing to others. And so the psalmist is longing. His mind is on the house of God. And this is another way in which we hope in God through dark and despairing times. Another way, look at verse 8, faith. How do we hope in God through the darkness? Verse number 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Do you read it there? Yet the Lord will command, though deep calling unto deep, the billows are gone over me, the waves are rushing over me, I feel like I'm drowning, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. That's faith. I know my circumstances, I know the conditions that I am surrounded by, yet I know that God is in control and he will intervene. One preacher said, faith is your spiritual optic. It's your spiritual eye. We walk by faith and not by sight. So we are to persevere through faith, believing that God will intervene and send a song in our hearts during time in which we don't feel like singing. And so how do we find hope? We find it in exercising faith in God. Let me give you two more. Verse 8, notice prayer. What's another way in which we can find hope in God through discouraging times? Prayer. The psalmist says in verse 8, my prayer unto the God of my life. The psalmist is a prayer warrior. Now look at verse 9. He is communing with God. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forsaken me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He's honest before God. He's communing with God. He's speaking unto God, his Father. Verse 4 tells us that he is pouring out his soul to God within himself. The psalmist was a man of prayer. And Jesus Christ in the New Testament says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You will faint in the dark times if you do not pray. If you do not get on your face and ask God for his help and strength and his wisdom. Aren't we learning through the book of James to ask for wisdom during our times of trials? To be people of prayer, to stay our hearts upon God. The Puritan Thomas Manton said this, one way to get comfort is to plead the promise of God in prayer. Show him his handwriting. God is tender of his word. So go open up the word of God and pray. Lord, you said this. You said you would be with me. Lord, you said you will not forsake. You said you will strengthen. You said, and we plead that in prayer. Then notice also, how did the psalmist find hope in God? He found it by keeping the house of God of utmost importance upon his heart and mind. He found it by remembering who God was through his word. He found it through faith, through prayer, and then see, he found it through praise. He had hope in God through praise. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I shall yet praise him. The psalmist found hope through praise, through worship, by being thankful unto God for everything. Isn't that what Paul commands us to do? In everything, give thanks, even when you don't like it, even when you don't understand. And thanksgiving is good, Matthew Henry says, but thanksgiving is better. We are to live a thankful life, a praiseworthy life unto God. We are to be like Paul and Silas, who praised the name of God after being beaten and thrown into prison. We are to find hope in praise, in worship, in adoration, in seeking God's face. And so we see the psalmist. We see the reality of despair. We see the remedy of despair. And then thirdly, I want you to see the refreshing of the soul. The refreshing of his soul. As he praises through his times of despairs, we see that his soul is refreshed. It is revived. He says, I shall yet praise him. Notice, who is the health, the salvation of my countenance, and my God. Did you notice the psalmist's resolve within that? He resolves to praise and worship God in the midst of his trials. He's teaching us, despite how we feel, despite what our circumstances are, we must go on praising God. God himself was the refreshment to his soul. The Word of God records throughout all of Scripture the discouragements of men and women. But it not only records their discouragements, but it also shows their revival, their refreshing that they found in God. And I know it's hot in here, and I know you're warm, but stay with me as I go through this. And in the Scriptures, we read of Moses in Numbers chapter 11, verses 14 through 15, who asked the Lord to kill him because the burden of providing for and carrying the people was far, far too great. Moses, the meekest man upon earth, the great leader of the nation Israel, Moses desires to die. That dark cloud of despair has overflooded his soul. And the Lord graciously provides men to help and assist him in the work so that he would not have to bear the burden alone. God revives his soul. We read of Hannah, as we mentioned, 1 Samuel 1, who was overcome with a season of despair. She was unable to have children. And we read that God provided her a son, Samuel, whom she dedicated unto the Lord. And she was more than grateful that Samuel was used in the service of God. We read of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. Such a mighty man of God, such a great man of prayer and faith. Surely discouragement didn't settle in on his heart. And after that great battle upon Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, where do we find him? He's weeping like a little baby. He's discouraged. He's downcast, wondering if he can make it, desiring to die. And what does God do there? God manifests himself greatly to this prophet Elijah. A revival, a refreshing in his soul. Be careful also. Sometimes dark, discouraging times can come after great victories. Be on guard. Don't let down the shield of faith. As you have a great victory in your personal life, as God gives you victory over a sin that you've been battling, as God provides a need in your family, don't let your guard down. Sometimes discouragement can creep in when you've had great victories. We read of Job, who lost his family, his farm, his health. He was weary, overwhelmed by troubling circumstances, yet God gave him strength and faith to persevere. And he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Read of Jeremiah. What is Jeremiah called? The weeping prophet. Why is he the weeping prophet? Because he, as a messenger of the Lord, is going to his own people, and the people are of hard hearts and stiff necks. They're not receiving the message of the Lord. They're not repenting. They're not turning. They're not finding peace and rest unto their souls. And this causes him to be weary. It causes him to be of a sad heart. Yet God encourages his heart. Yes, even Jeremiah the prophet, this great man of God, we find him in the book of Jeremiah ready to throw in the towel. I'm done preaching, Lord. Every time I preach judgment, the people will not hear and they will not turn from their wicked ways. I'm about done. And God comes in, manifests himself through the Word of God, and the Word is like a fire within his bones. And Jeremiah continues. He sensed a great discouragement, but he also sensed a great refreshing and a revival by God's power and presence. And it is Jeremiah who, in the book of Lamentation, who records those great words that we love to hear. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. That's from a man who almost quit the ministry. That's from a man who was despairing at times. We read of Peter in the New Testament, who was encouraged by our Savior after the resurrection. He went back to fishing, and Jesus came and cooked him breakfast. Encouraged his soul, refreshed him in his time of discouragement. What a good and gracious God that we have. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 8, and I want you to look at two passages here that manifest these truths wonderfully in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 8, an account of the Lord Jesus Christ amongst his disciples. Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27. The Bible says, Matthew 8, 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He saith unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Isn't that a wonderful passage? Do you get the mental picture in your head? The disciples are in a boat, and the water is coming into the boat, and the wind is boisterous. And Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping. They're fearful of their lives. And Jesus is asleep. And so they wake him up. Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die. Wake up. And Jesus slowly stands, rebukes the winds, rebukes the sea. All comes to a calm. He says, why are you so fearful? Why are you of little faith? The God of the universe is in the boat with you. I'm the one who made the wind, the waves, and the sea. And then they marvel. Wow. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves should obey him? Sometimes God causes heartache, discouragement, come into our lives because he wants us to increase in our faith and he wants us to marvel at who he is and what he can do. That's what he's doing with his disciples here. I want you to look at John chapter 6 as we see another passage almost similar. John 6, 16. When even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. Last time Jesus entered the boat, the disciples followed, they went out, there was a storm, Jesus fell asleep. Different passage. When even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Think it was an accident? I don't think so. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. In another gospel, they think they see a ghost at night. But in all actuality, it is the Lord Jesus Christ coming to them. In the time of their darkness, in the time of their trouble, they are fearful. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? I thought Jesus called us to follow him, and now we're going to perish in the sea. Where is he? Doesn't he care? Jesus near, he's near. And in the darkness, the light of the world approaches them. And he has a lesson for them. Hope thou in God. Rest and wait patiently for the power of Christ. Trust in his omnipotent hand. Stop looking at your surroundings, at your circumstances, and trust. And there's another water passage we could even bring up. Peter walking on the water, and he gets his eyes off the Lord, and he gets his eyes upon the waves, and he falls. All these are written for our admonition. All these are recorded in scriptures to help us and encourage us when we get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and we begin to put them on our circumstances, we will fall and stay discouraged. But God has called us to look up, to look unto the author and the finisher of our faith, to place our faith completely upon him. What is faith? But fully relying upon God, to place your whole weight upon his goodness, his promise, his power. And so we read, it wasn't just the psalmist who struggled with discouragement. Great men of God, great men or women of God throughout history have dealt with it. But they've also found a great refreshing, a great revival in their soul that has been wrought by God Almighty. And they've gone through it. They persevered through it. Charles Spurgeon, many other preachers of the past suffered greatly. I don't know what circumstance you're faced with tonight, what storm is howling on your heart, but you are called to hope in God. You are called to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. It's his promise. Does God keep his promises? We talked about it this morning. Yes and amen. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah, oh Lord God, thou hast made the earth and the heaven, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Is anything impossible with God? No, in no wise. In the midst of your storm, in the midst of discouragement, hope in God. Stay in his word. Be a prayer warrior. Be faithful to church. Remember God. Meditate upon him. Exercise faith. And preach to your soul. Amen.